Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich. This is Crime Talk. Thanks for watching. We have a busy docket, so let's get right to it. First, we're going to explain what is the government really asking for in their request to the court in regards to the Chad Daybell matter. Next, new video in the Gabby Petito matter. Doesn't look good for the police officers. And guess what? No Brian Landry just yet. And a judge is going to prison, another missing young woman, and then we'll finally get to our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. This is the channel where an actual practicing criminal defense attorney explains the facts, the procedure, and the law to cold cases and current true crime cases. Welcome. Now, if you haven't done so, please hit the subscribe button, hit the thumbs up, hit that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. And as always, please leave me a comment below about what we talked about today. And remember, if you can't watch us on YouTube or Facebook, you can always download us on your favorite podcasting app like Apple or Spotify. And since we've been telling people about that, wow, have those numbers been going through the roof? So you can always have your Crime Talk. All right, before we get started, please go to crimetalkprep.com. And you say, Scott, why do I need to go there? Listen, the reason you need to go there is because you need to be prepared. Bad things happen to good people. Natural disasters happen and good people are affected. But you need to be able to be prepared. Look how long it took after Hurricane Ida went through Louisiana. It was months before power had been restored to everybody. Well, what are you going to do during that time? You need to be able to eat. Go to crimetalkprep.com. And guess what? You can sign up for your three months of your meal preparation kit, and you're going to get $100 off. Listen, this is not a political thing. This is a being responsible thing. It is about taking care of you and your family when something happens that nobody expected. And I'm telling you, I just spent my morning somewhere because bad things happen, okay? You just never know when it's going to take place. So be prepared, crimetalkprep.com. All right, first on the docket. Now, we brought you the brief hearing that was held yesterday in the Chad Daybell matter. Lori Vallow's one attorney was there. Did you notice Mark Means wasn't there? I did. I noticed that as well. Just a little hint. Well, there was a motion, and it was basically a status conference for the October 6th change of venue motion. The change of venue motion has been filed by the defense. It's been pending out there for quite a while. And this was basically going to be the day where evidence was going to be presented in regards to why the defense believes that neither Lori Vallow nor Chad Daybell can receive a fair trial there in Fremont County. Well, bottom line is the government kind of agreed that they can't receive a fair trial in the county in which they reside because of the amount of the publicity that's taking place. Everybody basically pretty much agrees Lori Vallow, Chad Daybell, not going to get a fair trial. But what does the prosecution do? And is this because they truly believe this, or they think, yes, it should be a change of venue, but we're going to go kicking and screaming? Well, basically, they concede in their motion saying, hey, to avoid any appellate issues, we agree that the defendants probably won't get a fair trial here. But the prosecution is basically saying, hey, judge, don't move the entire process. Let's just move it for a limited purpose of selecting another jury in another part of the state. And then we'll bring those jurors back down here, where basically it's easy and convenient for us, the prosecution, where all our witnesses are, all our offices are, all our support staff are located. Don't make us all move, because that would be unfair. And then they said, judge, we also believe that these jurors would basically be hounded by the press they should have their safety concerns, their photographs. I mean, they could be harassed, what have you, simply for being a juror in this particular case. So we want you to sequester the jury, which basically means put them in a hotel. They're supervised in, during the entire time by basically the sheriff's department. And that's just crazy. So most jurors are not sequestered anymore. The last case where I can think about jurors actually being sequestered, at least that I can remember, was the O.J. Simpson trial. And what has that been, like 25 years or something as of right now? They didn't do it up in the case as it relates to Derek Chauvin. Maybe they should have, I don't know. But most jurors want to sleep in their own bed. So I don't necessarily think the judge is going to go along with sequestration, but who knows? We'd probably have to have a status conference to schedule a status conference to schedule an actual hearing on that. But in this particular case, I'm not sure the judge wants to just bring in the jury to do this. It seems like it makes a lot more sense to move it to another part of the state where you have a much larger jury pool, maybe hasn't been subjected to the complete bombardment of the press and social media regarding Laura Vallow and Chad DeBell. We'll see what they do next week. I think basically everyone's conceding that they can't get a jury down there in Fremont County. And so the question is, are we going to move the whole trial, or are we just going to basically bring in a jury, select the jury somewhere else, and then bring them back down there to Fremont County? We'll just have to wait and see. It's going to get interesting. Never seen somebody make that suggestion, but it is an option under the law. Normally, when there's a change of venue, you continue where you are, and then when you do trial, everybody packs up, and you all head to a particular new location for the trial. It's going to be interesting. I thought they would wait until they actually have a jury in basically the start of the process of voir dire and see if they can, in fact, get a jury. And if they couldn't, then they would do it. But it looks like everybody is moving to get it out of the county. We'll let you know how things progress. Every day is an adventure on this case so far. All right. Next on the docket, Gabby Petito. A new body cam video was obtained from the Moab Police Department regarding the interaction between Brian Laundrie and Gabby Petito's domestic dispute on August 12th. Now, we put this video up late last night when it broke. Thank you, Frank, truly the hardest working man in show business, who did that at the late hours last night when he should be taking care of his wife, who's going to deliver a baby any second now, but thank you. Anyway, the video shows Petito telling an officer that Brian was, in fact, hitting her. Now, the attack allegedly took place shortly before the couple was stopped by the police at the entrance of the Arches National Park. A 911 caller told police he saw a man slapping a woman outside an organic grocery store in Moab. The officer asks, "Did he hit you, though?" To which Gabby replies, I guess, yeah, but I hit him first." The officer asks Gabby when Brian hit her, and Gabby is visibly upset and replies, "He didn't hit me in the face. He didn't punch me in the face or anything." The officers ask Gabby if Brian had slapped her. Gabby replies, "Well, like he grabbed me with his nails, I guess. That's why it looks. I definitely have a cut right here." Gabby is seen rubbing her cheek. "I can feel it. When I touch it, it burns." Now, the new video reportedly shows that the witnesses clarify that he did not see Laundrie strike the female when questioned by the police. "I think I saw maybe a push or a shove, but not a full-on punch to a face or anything." Now, the officer asks if the witnesses saw any slapping, to which the witness replies yes. Now, the Moab City Police Department Chief Brett Edge took a leave of absence earlier this week as an internal investigation looks into whether the cops mishandled the situation by letting the couple drive off without pressing charges. Idaho is like many jurisdictions in the United States. If the police are called and there can be some allegation that somebody pushed, poked, slapped, punched, did anything to one of the other parties, and they have been involved in an intimate relationship, guess what? Somebody's going to jail. Now, early on, I was a little surprised that the police officers didn't arrest either Brian Laundry, Gabby Petito, or both of them based upon their statements. But I said, hey, listen, the police were trying to resolve this kind of at the lowest level possible, and they were trying to do their best. They were treating it as a situation where basically it was mental health related and not an actual physical assault. However, now it looks like I think the police officers should have arrested basically both of these individuals because they both admitted to, or their allegation that Brian hit Gabby, and Gabby admitted that she hit him, Brian Laundry. So I think they both should have been arrested. And, you know, like I said, as a criminal defense attorney, you like to see it where, you know, maybe hopefully things are resolved. You don't like to second guess in this particular situation. It's a tough call. Would it have changed anything? Who knows? But the reality of it is, I think the police probably should have arrested him. I know it's a little bit different than what I have said, but maybe both of them going to jail would have realized that maybe this is a toxic relationship. It's not going to work, and we could all go our separate ways without, obviously, somebody winding up deceased, murdered. So, more news. The search for Brian Laundry continues today as North Carolina authorities have been investigating several calls suggesting that Brian Laundry is hiding out on the Appalachian Trail. Now, the Appalachians is understood to be an area familiar with Laundry, who is previously reported to have once lived there by himself for months. This area has also been a focus for the private search team led by Dwayne Dog, the bounty hunter. Chapman, now whose daughter Lisa Chapman tweeted a plea for experienced hiking survivalists near the Appalachian hiking trail in North Carolina. Alyssa tweeted on Sunday, if you have hunters in your family near the Appalachian Trail in North Carolina, tell them to check your game cameras. Watauga officers have a detective monitoring a mass online post claiming that people are seeing Brian Laundry in Boone, North Carolina. Now, Watauga County Sheriff Len Hageman said, we actually had a conversation with the FBI this morning, and Hageman told everybody that if there's something legitimate, we'll check it out. If there's something more to it, then the FBI will be contacted, but not on every call, which basically means we're being bombarded completely based upon people thinking that everybody looks like Brian Laundry. Now, if you take a look at Frank on the other side of the camera here, it could be a sighting of Brian Laundry. They look very similar. Is there something you'd like to tell me, Frank? All right. Well, now a Florida sheriff believes Brian Laundry should have been detained as soon as Gabby Petito's parents reported her missing. The Polk County Sheriff Grady Judge told a press conference on Thursday that he would never have let him out of their custody. In his office, had been the ones handling the case when the when Mr. Laundry returned home to Florida alone, driving Petito's van. Judge also indicated that Laundry should have been arrested by police officers responding to the reports of the dispute involving Petito and Laundry in Moab. And I agree with him on that, but I'm not exactly sure what charge he would have held him for down there in Florida. Sheriff, maybe you could let us know. Judge commented also that I can tell you that, and according to Florida law, when she was the victim of domestic violence originally, he would have been arrested. That's the law in most places. I would have arrested both of them if I was making that call, I think, now after seeing the most recent video. Now, the Polk County Sheriff was keen to stress, however, that he could only speculate based upon what has been reported in the news. And Dog the Bounty Hunter is now putting his money where his mouth is. Dog is reported offering $10,000 in rewards for information that leads to Brian Laundry's arrest. Dog and his family said they are determined to bring closure to Gabby Petito's family, and they hope upping the reward helps to uncover Brian's whereabouts. Now, prior to Dog's donation, the reward money sat at $170,000, much of which was donated by private individuals supporting the Petito family. And old Mr. Chapman joined the nationwide manhunt for Brian, and earlier this week, he alerted cops to a possible sighting. Dog and his team are currently on a remote island off Florida looking for Brian. Dog has said that he felt this close to capturing him, but the island terrain has slowed down the search, which of course is somewhat unusual since a lot of people think that he's up in North Carolina on the Appalachian Trail. The reality of it is, I don't think anyone knows where he is. Now, Scott Reich, Crime Talk, is making a prediction that he is probably out of the country by now because his parents gave him that head start. All right, next on the docket, a judge is going to jail. A former Wisconsin juvenile court judge pled guilty this week to two counts of distributing child. Brett Blome, 39, entered his plea in U.S. District Court for the Western District of Wisconsin. Now, the former state judge admitted to two counts of distributing child because he agreed to plead guilty. Plus, prosecutors agreed to recommend the maximum available reduction in sentencing. And the federal court plea purports to settle an outstanding list of charges that the former judge had in state court. The United States agrees that these two guilty pleas will completely resolve all the possible and state criminal violations that have occurred in the Western District of Wisconsin, providing that the following conditions are met. One, the criminal conduct relates to the conduct described in the indictment. And two, that the criminal conduct was known to the United States and the state of Wisconsin as of the date of this plea agreement, which basically, if you know, they find a whole new slew of computers, probably not going to be covered. But the judge is getting the benefit of the bargain here by having state cases dismissed, so he only has the one federal case. Now, representatives from the Wisconsin Department of Justice indicated that the state of Wisconsin agreed to dismiss all pending charges against the judge because of his plea and conviction that he'll have in federal court. Now, the good judge has only been a judge since August of 2020. He ran as a progressive alternative to a judge that was appointed by former Governor Scott Walker. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, not casting stones, but just saying he was a juvenile judge. He wanted to be a juvenile judge, and he had child. Why? You have to take a look at it, ladies and gentlemen, because that's where the children are, okay? Just saying. Trust me on this, ladies and gentlemen. Trust me, which is another reason why you need to go to crimetalksearch.com. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched, and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever, but if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship, you're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. Check them out. Go to crimetalksearch.com. You'll be happy you did. Next, another missing young woman. The FBI and the Florida Department of Law Enforcement have joined a search that spans three counties for a missing college student who disappeared a week ago. Maya Marcano vanished on the same day a maintenance man improperly used a master key to enter her apartment, according to the police. And Orange County Sheriff John Mina said Armando Caballero, a maintenance worker at the apartment complex where Marcano lived and worked, is considered the prime suspect. Now, Caballero, 27, was apparently killed himself. His body was found 3 days after Marcano was last seen. Now, at this time, nobody believes that there was another person involved, and the sheriff has said that Marcano had repeatedly rebuffed romantic advances to Caballero. Detectives spoke to Caballero after Marcano was reported missing, but had no evidence to detain him at that time. They obtained a warrant for his arrest after learning that he had actually entered her apartment before she disappeared. His body was then found inside a garage. More than 60 detectives are working exclusively on the case, the sheriff said, and a total of 176 personnel across Orange, Seminole, and Volusia counties are assisting in the search, which include trained dogs from multiple agencies, helicopters, dive teams, and digital methods. Detectives have conducted nearly 30 searches For Marcano, she was a 19-year-old Valencia College student and was last seen before 5 p.m. last Friday. Her family reported her missing after she missed a flight home to South Florida that evening. And the company that owns Arden Villas apartment complex said all potential employees undergo criminal background checks and no record of burglary or sexual assaults appeared on Caballero's criminal background record. The Florida Department of Law Enforcement criminal history for Caballero shows one prior arrest in the state. And in December of 2013, he was arrested in Polk County on charges of using a destructive device resulting in property damage and discharging a weapon on school property. An arrest report from Polk County, sheriff deputies were called to the campus of Warner University after a report of a bomb going off inside a dorm. The explosive turned out to be a toilet bowl cleaner concoction inside a plastic drink bottle. The report said Caballero admitted to using the improvised explosives as a prank on another resident of the dorm. Yeah. Wow. Scary situation, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, you got to be careful. You got to be aware of your surroundings. And hopefully, for the family's sake, they can find her. Probably not safely, let's be realistic, but at least they can find her for a proper burial for the family. It's just frustrating where cases like this just don't need to happen. Just a sad situation all around. All right, and finally today, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Today, please meet James Kurtz. He's 38, and he posted a photo on Facebook Marketplace trying to sell new catalytic converters. Now, Kurtz included a photo of a boxed up auto parts for sale. What Kurtz did not realize was the image also showed a large bag of methamphetamine and a syringe on a table in the photo's background. A Facebook user tipped off the police, and Kurtz was arrested and charged with drug trafficking and unlawful possession of a weapon. Well, Mr. Kurtz, you are a dumb criminal contestant of the day. Congratulations. You'll be competing with, from Monday, Mr. William Atkinson's, who assaulted his wife after she FaceTimed him while having sex with another man inside a car parked outside of a Best Western hotel in Pennsylvania. Atkinson's allegedly punched and kicked his 32-year-old spouse. The beating left the woman, who Atkinson said was his wife of 3 years, severely bruised and bleeding heavily from her face, nose, and mouth. And Monday, we had a doubleheader. Caleb Blake, 33, allegedly called in two bomb threats toward a company in order to spend more time with her boyfriend. Yeah, that didn't quite work out so well. Tuesday, a customer stopping for a used car discovered a naked woman pleasuring herself in the rear seat of a 2010 Jeep Wrangler parked outside a Florida auto dealership. When the dealer manager opened the Jeep's door, he found Miss Alexis King naked with her legs spread wide open. Manager estimated that the damage caused by Miss King was $1,300. That was damage to the seat, some sort of stain, and some damage to the radio. Wednesday, Matthew Williamson was found sleeping in a press box of a sports complex surrounded by piles of stolen chicken fingers, chips, candy, and meth. The incident took place just hours after he had been released from custody. Gotta admire a man who goes back to what he knows. And then Thursday, Joel Lewis. The police charged Mr. Lewis, who swiped two watches worth $39.76 from a Walmart in Florida. Store employee provided cops with a description of the suspect to include his Gronkowski jersey that he was wearing. Needless to say, it didn't take police long to find Mr. Lewis hiding in the bushes with his Gronkowski jersey. He may have got away with it if it wasn't for that Gronkowski jersey. Well, needless to say, Mr. Lewis was arrested, confessed, and he's now a dumb criminal contestant. Leave your vote below. We will tally them up, announce the winner next week, and then guess what happens? That's right, we announce the winner, and they get cool Crime Talk gear, like a mug, right? And these, if our, any of our dumb criminals win, they can keep the mug, obviously, and they can do whatever they want with it. Just don't put your Gronkowski jersey in it. Don't put watches in it. Don't try to pleasure yourself with it. The reality of it is you can do whatever you want. Just don't break the law with it. Only condition. All right. Only condition, ladies and gentlemen. All right. That's all we have for you today. It's been a busy, busy week. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.